Going to try and shift things up a little bit for a season. Not that it's going to be that different, but I want to shorten our speaking time. Everyone says, amen. Yeah. We don't speak that long, but we're going to try to target to be more impactful in 15 to 20 minutes, you know, which for any speaker means half hour plus, but try to compact it down and really agree with what Steve was saying. It's time that the church arise and impact the world instead of having the world impact the church. And one of the most effective ways we do that is to come together to pray, to petition God, to change the things that are going on. So it's time that the church arises and prays. So we're going to end every service in a time of prayer, corporate prayer, towards things going on, whatever God lays on our heart throughout the week. So we're just going to slightly shift our structure a little bit. So don't leave when the sermon's done. I want everybody to stay engaged with what God's doing. It's really important. I really believe it's a critical time for our nation, and we need to pray. So what I'm starting, we've been on this kingdom message for, at least 6 months. We've went through love and praise and thanks and different aspects of the kingdom of God. What I want to start off today, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on, is what I'm calling kingdom relationships. Really, the culture of the kingdom of God is relational. One of the reasons the Jews missed it is they were looking for something political and governmental. And the very nature of God is he wants a personal relationship with you. And if you're looking for something else, you're going to miss what he's bringing, because he's bringing himself. So we're going to be talking about relationships. How are we to relate to God in his kingdom? How are we relate to one another in his kingdom? How are we supposed to relate to the world in his kingdom? What are the nuances of it? What is the culture of it? What is honor in the kingdom of God? What's it look like? How is it outworked in our lives? Okay? Different things we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to be asking different ones of you to speak. So you're going to get a cross-pollination of flavor and personality and perspective. And in it all, I believe that God's going to show us things about his kingdom. So today, this is titled Kingdom Relationships, Father. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to know you as Father today, more so than ever before. So we just ask that in this time that you would speak to us, that your words would be impactful and our eyes would be open to know more of you. Bless your people to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you come to know the Lord, you become a citizen of his kingdom. And it is so different than the world that we're currently in. I'm 58. I know I don't look nowhere near it, right? Look so much younger. Feel so much older, look so much younger. I've not known a time in my life where the people in the world, where society itself, where the culture is so disjointed, disconnected, non-relational, and have no desire to connect on any level other than technology. Let's get everyone so they never have to leave home. Everything can be delivered, they can text a message, and you know the government will take care of you. And It's probably one of the most disturbing times of my life. I've watched the total meltdown, breakdown of the family. There's many sections of society that don't understand what a father is, don't understand what a parent is, don't understand what a mother is, don't understand siblings. Relationships have been destroyed in America. And the church has allowed it, and they've allowed it to creep into the church. There's a lot of churches that still are just doing Zoom meetings because it just got comfortable. You know, you can really keep expenses down. You don't need a building or nothing. You could do it from your kitchen table. And the problem with it all is you can't be the kingdom of God and do things the way the world does it. And first and foremost is God is relational. First and foremost, he wants a personal relationship with you. Okay, so Matthew 6, 9. I'm already taking too long. We got it? Cool. I can do that. Matthew 6, 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You want me to do it from memory? You're going to flip it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's kind of a combination of the NIV and King James Version, because you remember things when you're young in the King James Version, if you're my age, and then you blend them all together, right? So it's in the NIV, it's hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talk a lot about, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We talk a lot about, you know, let's bring heaven to earth, right? But we don't talk a lot about our Father. Matter of fact, I've heard this scripture preached tons of times or used in a message, and I don't ever recall in any of the times that the subject was our Father. But yet Jesus demonstrated everything was about the Father. And this is such a powerful statement that I can't keep sitting down. It's such a powerful statement because it says everything about who he is, but even more so about who you are. See, when I go to God in any way, shape, or form as Father, it means I'm making a statement that I'm your child. Okay, you have to understand the power in that. As a child, I have rights to everything Dad has. Legal, contractual rights. Something happens to Dad, government comes in. Unless he has a will. Right? I have rights. What he has is mine. I have an inheritance. All he has a lot, by the way. The particular word I'm going to talk about today, there is no way I'm doing this in 15 minutes, just so you know. There's just, and I only have a page handwritten, which is a miracle in and of itself. Okay? The word is pater or pater, however you want to say it, P-A-T-E-R. That's the word for father. It's a Greek word. And I was looking at the things that it said, and I just want to break some of these down. And it's impossible in a short amount of time to get full revelation of father. So we may have to have several weeks of just father in this relationship. So because we have to grasp something. I'm a child of God. You know, we sing it, we say it, but there's something we have to grasp about it. I watch my kids, and I watch my grandkids, and they understand relationship. And especially my girls, if they want something, they go to dad. Mom's probably already said no. And dad's like, yeah, okay. Did you talk to mom? I learned that first question has to be, did you talk to mom? I'm just like him. He likes saying yeah. He likes giving good gifts. He likes blessing his children. He loves pouring out his favor. You have to understand the dynamic in the kingdom of God. First and foremost, he's Father. Is he king? Yes, he's king. First and foremost, he's Father. It says something about God's very nature that he wants to be known as first and foremost Father, our Father. When we come to God, it should always be in the mindset of Father. Better sit down. I'll go way too long. So I'm going to run through this quick. Pater, one who imparts life and is committed to it. You could preach just on that alone. Okay, I'm going to touch on it, but for some of us, the one that imparted life wasn't necessarily committed to it. So we have a bad taste in our mouth about our earthly parent. Some people do, right? Some of us had great examples of fathers. Imparts life and is committed to it. See, honestly, my kids have nothing to worry about their entire life as long as I'm alive. Why? Because I'm committed to them. Doesn't mean I'm going to do everything for them. But they really, when the scripture says don't worry, they don't need to worry. Why? Because Father's here. You know, I might not have all the answers. He does. I had a father with all the answers. I have to worry about a thing. You know, I could break anything because he could fix anything. Didn't matter what I ruined, he could fix it. I didn't have a need. I didn't have a want. Why? Because he was provider. I didn't ever have to wonder, could I get something? Where would my meal come from? This or that? Hardest working man I know. No doubt in my mind, I was taken care of. Some of us go through life and we don't relate to God as Father. And we think we have to wear this burden on ourselves. You're taken care of. He's a good father.
I digress.
I was listening to the Stones, the daughters talk about Bob. And I'm just amazed at the life he imparted. The testimony they gave of what he imparted. You know, Bob's gone on to be with the Lord, and we suffer loss. We grieve for the loss. But he's here in everything he imparted. And I know every time I see them, I'll see him. Because how they live out their life is based on what he imparted. That's a powerful statement if you grasp it. We used an illustration of an earthly man and what he imparted to his children, right? Do you understand what God's imparted to you? And you get to live out your life demonstrating what he imparted. And he's committed to fulfill it because he's put it in you. He's Father. One who imparts life and is committed to it. A progenitor, bringing into being to pass on the potential for likeness. A begetter, originator, progenitor, one in intimate connection and relationship. From the root PA, P-A, nourisher, protector, upholder. So I want to go through these quickly. Imparts life, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I was thinking about this. See, the problem with trying to go quick is you can't really stop and talk about the scripture. You know? How many fathers in this place? Okay? How many were there when their first child was born? Okay. Now picture this. Then the Lord God formed a man, right? Then he breathed life into him. You saw your baby's first breath. Can you imagine? You should be able to. How God felt with that first breath. I'd die for you. I'd do anything for you. And he has. I brought Breen home and I sat in front of a video camera and taped it, and I don't know how long I talked to her and just talked about what it was like to have her and how inadequate I was as a father. But I knew she was perfect in every way. And I knew she would grow to be perfect in every way, but I would fail her just because of who I was, right? And I never went back and listened to it, so we probably still have it somewhere. But God can't fail us because of who he is. And now he's looking. I was having coffee with somebody yesterday, and he mentioned something. Trouble separating the sin from the sinner. I said, no, you have trouble separating sin from the saint. And we do this in the church. God doesn't have trouble with that. He doesn't have a sin issue. See, when I see my kids, in spite of anything, they're perfect in every way. Why? Because that's what I imparted to them. Do you understand what's been imparted to you? He has no problem separating sin from who he's called you to be. He will always speak into the life and destiny that he's placed in you. Always. He's going to call you to life. He's going to call you to live out who you are. And that's Christ in you. So he imparts life. John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Amplified says, have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. See, he breathed into you life, but he's committed to you having life in abundance. What does that mean? It means he will never leave you nor forsake you. Means when you need comfort, he will comfort you. When you need strength, he'll be your strength. In your darkest hour, he'll be your light. When you need joy, it'll come. He'll carry you through. It means no matter what happens in this temporary life, he will bring it to an eternal good. No matter what. He's Father. He imparts life. He's committed to it. He's brought about the potential for likeness. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. It's one. I just look at all this stuff and I think of my kids being born. And now I think of my grandkids, and it's always fun to listen. Who do you think he looks like? All these things. You think God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus sat there and said, oh, you know, Holy Spirit, he has your dimple. And, Holy Spirit doesn't have a dimple. Should have got your attention. I have a dimple. So maybe he has a dimple. He looks at you and he sees his son. You were created in the image of God. Everything that you need to live out a holy, righteous, godly life, to be fruitful, to multiply, to bring God glory in this temporal life for eternal reward has been given to you because it's his DNA in you. You're in his likeness. You know, I prayed to God that don't let any of my girls look like me. You know, and somehow there are resemblance, but you know, he made beauty from ashes. You know, he's able to take something and mold it into beauty. And that's what he does with us. He pulls out himself from us for the world to see him through us. Right, 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is what God continually speaks into us throughout our life, to the full measure and stature of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's our DNA. And when we see him, we will see we're like him. The challenge now is to faithfully walk that out when we don't see it in ourselves. When all you see is dark, can you speak light? When all you see is death, can you speak life? Why? Because he's given you the power. He's given you the authority as a child of God to speak to the Father life. The world's waiting for the church to rise and speak life. You know, the church doesn't need to rise and be known for signs and wonders. That's like a good meal. Yeah, you'll come back now and then, but after a while, you just want something different. It's the abundant life that the world needs. It's to know there's eternal reward. It's to know that there's meaning to this temporal world because it has an eternal consequence. There's a hope that we have that they need to know. That hope is that he's Father. I'm a little long. Intimate connection and relationship, Romans 5:8. There's so many verses. Any of these could be broken down more. I just wanted to get this out to get us going. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love in itself establishes some sort of relationship, but I want you to understand, when your first thought in relationship with somebody, and most fathers will understand this when they've seen their child, is I'll die for that. I'll die that they may live. But yet God demonstrated it for us. You can't have a more intimate connection. See, we say we would die for someone. He died for us. See, he demonstrated it. It wasn't action. It wasn't just words. There's a relationship established because he demonstrated something. I can tell you every day till I die that I love you, but if there's no demonstration of love, you won't feel loved. You'll just be told you're loved. And there's a big difference. See, God's Father, he demonstrates love. Now I don't know your dad. I don't know you, the relationship you had with your dad. I learned how my father loved. God loves you how you need to be loved. Why? Because he knows how you receive love. You know, I know my dad loved me by his actions. I don't know if I recall him ever telling me, but there's no doubt in my mind. It's never been a question. Why? Because his actions showed me that he'd give his life for me. There's an intimate connection when we recognize him as Father. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I could preach on that alone. But I'll just say this. Not only did he breathe life in you, he put himself in you. It doesn't get more intimate than that. When Jesus talks about being one, how he and the Father are one, there's a realization that he's in me. You can't get more connected than that. It's impossible. He and I are one. And his Spirit testifies to my spirit, to where I can cry out, Father, and I know I'm his child. There's an intimate connection that he's already provided. I've heard some people struggle and go through things and I can't find God. How can you not find God? He's in me, he's in you, he's everywhere. All things were created in him. You're just denying what's right before you. And I can understand that, but you're not giving glory and honor to that which is right before you. He's always present, whether you feel like it or not. Why? Because there's an intimate connection. He's joined with you. He's not going to leave you, whether you feel him or not. I love being around feeling people. They're a hoot, you know? And I love when God ministers in a way that all these people look like they're, you know, drunk on the floor having a good time. I don't feel a thing. Don't feel a thing. And I think it's so funny watching God touch people and how they manifest and all these things. Love it. Love it. love it. Don't feel a thing. Has nothing to do with whether I feel him. If I never feel him again, ever in my life, which won't happen, by the way, what he has done is evident. It's not open for debate. He's Father. I can always come to him whether I feel him or not. He's Father. And just as my girls can come to me, they will get the response that they want. Because he's Father. First and foremost, we need to know him as Father. One last verse. He is nourisher, he's protector, he's upholder. Philippians 4:19. It says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I felt like this verse just summed up it all. Could spend a lot of time just on all these little things, right? The fact is, he's given you everything you need. Enough said. You need sustenance, he's given it to you. You need strength, he's given it to you. You need peace, he's given it to you. You need joy, he's given it to you. You need love, he's given it to you. He's given you everything you need. My God. My Father has supplied everything I need, and it's limitless. He is Father. My question is, who is Father to you? You might not have had a loving father, so you might have a hard time. Okay, I accepted him. I'm in his kingdom, but I can't relate to just, I didn't have a good relationship with my dad. My dad was abusive. My dad was this. My dad was never there. Whatever. Who is Father to you? If there's a hindrance for you today at accepting God as Father, you need to go to him as Father and say, I have trouble. I have nowhere else to turn. I have this image in my mind because of this experience. You need to set me free on that. I want to relate to you as your child. I want to know the love of a father. I want to know the provision of a father. I want to know the nourishment of a father. I want to know the protection of a father. I want to know you as Father. Why? So I can be the child you called me to be. There's a commandment that says, honor your father and mother. It comes with the promise, right? You'll live a long time. How often do we talk about honoring God as Father? We have no problem putting that into practice with our earthly parents. Oh, I'm supposed to do this? He's my Father. Eternally, he's my Father. First and foremost in the kingdom of God, I need to honor my Father. So the kingdom of God is relational. And first and foremost, he's our Father. So I'm going to pray and call Steve up. We're going to have communion. I want you to approach communion differently. I want you to approach communion with the perspective that he's my Father. I'm coming to the table that my Father set. Anything I want, I can ask for, because he's my Father. All right, and then we're going to, after communion, we're going to spend just some time in prayer, and Steve will lead us in that. So Heavenly Father, I love saying that now. You're our Father, whether we realize it or not, and you're the best. Whether we realize it or not, you are everything we need, whether we know it or not. And you're just waiting to bestow upon us all the gifts that the Father wants to give his children. So I pray for open hearts. I pray for open minds. I pray that you would deepen our relationship and you would bring us understanding how intimate you want to be with us. You want to walk with us in the cool of the day. You want to be present in our lives. You don't want us to walk without you. You want us fully aware of your presence, and you're always available to us. We never have to look. You're always there. Let that be our realization, God. We're your children. You're our Father. We bless you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.